Good morning and welcome to ASL's HR in 10
at 10.
I'm Jason Perry.
And I'm Kimberly Bradshaw.
And with her new backup laptop, as her main one's failed today.
Oh, what a panic this morning.
What a way to start. We're here to talk to you about the goings on in HR and what things you need to be aware of right now. I kind of think it would be good to start with prisoners, Kimberly.
Well, I think it would, because I spent time in prison.
Just for clarity,
in terms of providing voluntary work for offenders about to be released to help them with their, you know, career coaching, with their CVs, how to work the job market and work around their limitations. But
We will believe you. I'll just go back and check the DBS check
It was male prison, so. I'm not sure what that says.
That opens up a whole new dimension to the conversation. So, look, what's going on in prisons at the moment? Talk us through what's
well,
happening.
Well, the monthly job outlook survey from the Recruitment and Employment Confederation have announced that two-thirds of employees, so 66%, said that they would have concerns about employing ex-offenders. Mm. In case they, because of the risk this, of safety.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is about providing a safe working environment, isn't it? And some of them are effectively, I was about to say arguing, that might be a bit far, but leaning on the requirement, you know, the duty of care they have towards their people to provide a safe working environment and saying knowingly hiring people who have history as, you know, some sort of criminality could be putting their people at risk.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, they're not looking at all of the reoffending statistics, because those people that are successful, well, the majority of those that are successful in getting a job that they find rewarding actually don't reoffend. And the link between jobs for ex-offenders and reoffending is high. And, you know, my experience of these people is that, you know, it's been their, how they've been brought up or they've had significant trauma. Yes, there are those that, you know, are truly evil.
It's a meaningful life, isn't it? And if you can provide a meaningful life, a purpose and a job is a part of that, career is a part of that, you start to change the dynamic. It's interesting because this kind of gets into the whole, how do people know? And we have this lovely piece of legislation, and I'm going to try very hard. There's a couple of years I always get wrong in the early 70s, and it's the Rehabilitation of Offenders Act 74, isn't it?
I think so.
Oh,
I
there we go. You're not sure either. I'm sure it's either 73 or 74.
I know it says, I'll see if I can see it
quickly. I'm going to go for 74. And it's a wonderful piece of legislation that, for us employers, enables us to ask people about their history. And it's a very simple question. In my view, every employer should have as part of their application process of, do you have any convictions that are not considered as spent under the Rehabilitation of Offenders Act 1974? But this gets interesting, because if they don't, let's say they have done something wrong and the conviction is spent, then the employer didn't ought to know about it, did they?
No. They shouldn't. But you're right, it is important. I remember we weren't doing the recruitment, but we were doing all the, you know, the HRE stuff around recruitment. And it was for the manager of a care home. And we got the rolling DBS check. When she was appointed, it was all fine. By the time we came to the end of her 6 months probation,
she'd
been arrested for assaulting her daughter. So, and that makes me think about, you know, it depends what that conviction is for.
Yes, totally.
You know, there are some ex-offenders I'd love to have on, you know, just because of, they don't realise the skills that they have generated for themselves in pursuing their preferred criminal activity, shall we say, that could be applied to the marketplace.
Yes, no, totally. But it's about getting the perspective of that question. And it's concerning, You know, that data we were talking about, this research is suggesting, I think you said 66% of employers. Yeah. And the problem is it's not a let's say, considered reaction. It's a blanket reaction. It's if somebody has history, the answer is no. And that's a major problem.
It is, particularly when we have a talent shortage.
Yes, very much so. And to me, this is where I start to feel old. I'm going to say I'm old-fashioned. I'll start talking about employee
You're
engagement
not, Jason.
In a minute. But to me, this is about HR making an informed choice. And the question is there a risk? What level is that risk? Does that have any impact on the environment on which I want to put that person? And that should be an intelligent, informed judgment call, shouldn't it?
What's also going through my head there?
You disappeared and went quiet for a moment there. You're back, but sorry, do you want to start that sentence again? I lost the first bit.
Oh dear, I don't know. That's obviously unstable internet or something. What was going through my head, I completely agreed with you, but I was also thinking that actually there are so many organisations in the SME space that actually don't even do right-to-work checks or background checks.
You're
and
right.
They should.
Yes. Actually, we could talk about background checks as well, and let's in a moment. But in terms of this ex-offenders issue, clearly there are many, many roles where simply it isn't an issue. And what we ought to be doing is looking at the skill set and making a judgment of, is there a risk? And I think to try and educate employers, you can broaden the scope of what you're doing by taking that judgment call differently.
Yeah.
But do ask that question about Rehabilitation of Offenders Act, because then you get the information. And depending on the role you're hiring for, you may actually be able to go further and go down a DBS check and, you know.
Yeah, if something comes back and, you know, there is something on there, it's also important to make sure you understand the context of the conviction.
Yes.
Because, you know, I know this will sound really controversial. I've come across sex offenders who, frankly, I wouldn't consider them to be sex offenders.
Yep. Likewise, I've hired such people because there was zero risk in the context of the decision that you're making. Yeah. And that's the important one. But we touched on background checks, right to work checks. Obviously, this changed a lot during the lovely period of COVID and lockdowns, because we moved into this new world where we were allowed to do right to work checks by video. And that's now gone, hasn't it?
It has, and it's made it a bit more tiresome for HRs and employers, because you actually have to see somebody in person. They have to bring all their documentation in.
Yes.
Yes. Why was it okay then and why is it not okay now?
Well, I think the big thing to step back from when judging this is, why do we have right to work checks? And the really important reason is, what you're not allowed to do is employ, and I love the phrase, an illegal alien. There's two points. One, you're not allowed to employ an illegal alien. Two, you're not allowed to discriminate and treat one group of people differently to another. So if based on somebody's apparent race, you treated them differently and asked for more documents than you did for somebody who you thought was a British national, then you have committed race discrimination. So you need to apply your procedures fairly, but the purpose is to identify whether they have the right to work. Now, the reason I put that there is your risk in this may be relatively low. So the gold standard way of checking is seeing a passport in person, looking at that passport and being sure it's genuine, and looking at the person and being sure they're the person on the passport. There are many of those, and I'm going to say particularly with youngsters, where the passport photo might have been when they were, I don't know, 14, 15. And actually, let's say 6 years later, 5 years later, whatever, they may look wholly different.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be quite difficult to even be certain at that level. But that's the obligation you have, isn't it, to verify it's the person you see in front of you.
It is. And I wonder why they can't roll out what they use for people that do have visas to work here, where you just get a lovely little code number, you take 30 seconds
you kind of can, but they charge us for it. So you can use people, there are people out there, the one name that springs to mind is a company called Trust ID, but there are others, and I'm not saying that one's better, but you can log on to their system and send out a message to your prospective employee, and they take a selfie, and then they upload their passport, and it digitally verifies whether the selfie is the same as that. It then does background checks on the passport and gives you a document saying yay or nay. Now, my understanding is you still have to visually eyeball that person and say, yes, he's the person that turned up for work on Monday morning is the same person as on that document that says, yay, he has the right to work. Now, that's an interesting one because often HR is remote. Particularly if you're hiring home workers, what's to stop an employer, let's say in Hastings, hiring, let's say, a telesales professional who's going to be working in Cardiff? Who's going to pop out to Cardiff and check they're the right person?
Or are you going to pay the employee to come to Hastings?
There's the problem.
And
this is where I get back to you've got to ascertain the risk. Now, my own view is I would go on and do that and accept at some point in the first 3 to 6 months there is bound to be an opportunity where we attend the same meeting, training course, and you can actually go, when you pop in the office, bring your passport and let's check. And as long as you do those things, you've minimised the risk.
Yes, and also I think it's important to have in your contract that employment is conditional upon providing that information, because some people really try to wiggle out of it.
Yes, yes.
You know, they forget or they, you know, whatever. Yeah.
But the right to work checks, there are that you can either follow a really rigid, structured approach, and you can do it as a conveyor belt tick box. But quite honestly, if you understand the process, it is quite straightforward to go through and do, and then know which bits you need to check at a later date, isn't it?
Exactly.
Kimberly, do you know, we had all these wonderful things we could have talked about today, but it's been prisoners and right to work checks, and HR in 10 has just run out of time.
Oh, well, we've run over again. What a
Indeed.
Surprise.
As we so often do. Look, thank you so much for watching, and we will catch up with you again at the same time next week.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.